Off the ball. This is News Talk.
So we're turning to continuing trouble for Team Sky. The Digital, Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee report is out to discuss. Dr. Ross Tucker is with us. Ross, thanks so much for making time. So, well, there's a lot to get through here. Maybe just in overarching terms, you can use a scale of 1 to 10. I wonder how damaging and damning this is for Team Sky.
Relative to where we were this time, say, yesterday, about a 1.
Yeah.
Mostly because because from my perspective, these revelations are not revelations. They're confirmation more than anything else. I think it's helpful when the needle is nudged towards confirming what has been speculated and discussed in the past, and I think that's what this report does. But there's very little in that report that would come as a shock to anyone who's followed the story, going back to the initial leak by Fancy Bear and so forth. So I think there's progress in the sense that we now have independent, formalized confirmation in the form of this report. But the fact that Sky abused the TUE system and had attempted to deceive people into their attitude towards certain drugs, none of that should come as a major revelation to anyone unless they really haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, if anything, it might just be the appearance of this story on the front pages of newspapers across the UK, which might ultimately be the most damning aspect of all of this. Hey, maybe they won't win the Sports Personality of the Year award.
I think that ship sailed long ago.
So can we just go through, because I appreciate people have been in work all day and they may not have a chance to look through the report in any great depth, what it says about certain key issues, because there are different issues at play here. So we might start with the Jiffy bag, which again on this show, and I know you are sick of talking about this bloody Jiffy bag, but the Jiffy bag in 2011 was delivered courtesy of Simon Cope from Manchester to Wiggins, the Dauphiné of 2011. What the committee have concluded on this situation is that they are not in a position to state what was in the Jiffy bag. That said, they say there's no reliable evidence to back up Team Sky's claim that there was a very much a legal decongestant in this Jiffy bag. And certainly the report does raise the possibility that triamcinolone was the substance in the Jiffy bag. However, they can't prove that. Now, that potentially, I mean, if we're looking at this with a view to Wiggins maybe being stripped of titles, the presence of triamcinolone in that Jiffy bag, which made its way from Manchester to Wiggins in 2011, if that could be proven, that would mean Wiggins potentially and more than likely would be stripped of his 2012 tour and his Olympic gold medal from 2012.
Yes, and it would be bigger than that even, because it would mean that a number of people within Sky in a coordinated effort arranged for a banned substance to be sent all the way from Manchester to where Wiggins was, and they'd proactively gone about doing something they would have had to know was doping. So if that were confirmed to be the case, it would be the biggest nail in the coffin. As you said, though, that remains to this day, for me, one of the most frustrating things, is because someone must know what was in it.
Yeah.
And every single person who's asked in every single forum and platform has just been met with resistance and denial and obfuscation. So it's frustrating. And as who knows whether that question will ever be answered, because the report today, I think they went as far as they could and they still ran into a dead end.
Simon Cope, the fellow who transferred this package all the way from Manchester to Wiggins back in 2011, says he doesn't know what's in the package. Shane Sutton, Wiggins' longtime coach, doesn't know what was in the package. The only potential guy who might suddenly change this dramatically is Dr. Richard Freeman, the doctor who administered whatever substance was in that Jiffy bag to Wiggins. Now, he hasn't testified. It seems his mental health is under a degree of pressure with all this going around. And he also lost the records, the medical records of Wiggins on a holiday in Greece in 2014. So that was unfortunate, to say the least. I mean, short of Richard Freeman or someone else coming forward, it feels like the committee are incredibly sceptical here, but there's only so much they can do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that committee can't go wild with speculation. The thing about Freeman, and it's mentioned in the report that came out today, is that he is... Well, they advised that he be investigated primarily for his poor record keeping. And if that particular threat of an investigation followed by the revoking of his license and so forth, if he deems that large enough, then who knows, maybe he speaks. But As you say, it's either him or Wiggins. Someone has to reveal exactly what was in that bag, and I don't see Wiggins doing it at this stage. He's had enough opportunity. So Freeman under pressure, perhaps, but I fear that that's going to go the way of just one of the great unknowns.
Okay, so that's dead-end material for the time being. So that's Jiffy Bag 2011. Let's turn to the other aspect here, which the committee looked at in depth, which was, as you said, the abuse of TUEs. Yeah. Namely, triamcinolone. Pretty powerful. I mean, we've had plenty of people come out and say triamcinolone is very powerful. So in short here, and again, a lot of this I know we know, Wiggins was granted TUEs to take triamcinolone to treat allergies and respiratory issues before the 2011 Tour de France, his 2012 Tour win, and the 2013 Giro. The report says here, this does not constitute a violation of the WADA code, but it does cross an ethical line. And interestingly, Shane Sutton, who, you know, Wiggins can't claim to have, you know, detachment from Shane Sutton. He is integral to the Wiggins story. Shane Sutton says, and maybe this is the most damning line on the TUE situation, what Brad was doing was unethical, but not against the rules.
Yes. And I
what does that mean?
I wonder about that. I mean, that for me was one of the points where I had a slight disagreement with the way that the committee framed their conclusion, because the TUE policy in anti-doping is quite clear, and it specifically uses the words if and only if. Mm. The point behind a TUE is that you have to use it to treat an existing medical condition. And what I found interesting is that the committee that produces this report says, A, that Wiggins had used this in preparation for events. So they use this drug. It's a corticosteroid that cyclists apparently or allegedly use to cause really quick weight loss without loss of power. I mean, that's one of its benefits.
Yeah, so, huge advantage.
Right. So the committee has said that they believe that he's used it in preparation for events. That's point one. Two is that there's no medical condition for which it was required. So they got A and B, and then somehow they arrived that it's not doping. Now, If one wants to get into the ethical legal issues, one can, and say that outside of competition, an athlete doesn't need a 2UE for this drug.
Yeah,
which is actually completely bizarre. I can't understand why that still exists. Mm. But my opinion is that if you are using a powerful medicine, and this is not the stuff you pop down to the pharmacy because you've got a blocked nose for. This is a powerful, powerful drug. If you're using that for performance reasons, you're doping. You know that, and so the question comes back to what is clean. That's not clean, in my opinion. Mm. If Wiggins has used it in competition, then it's even clearer. Then it's absolutely doping. So, I think they've let them off a little bit lightly there. And I think the thing that sticks to Sky as a consequence of this is that whether they're being unethical, that's the best case you can make.
Yeah.
And there's a good argument to be made that they've gone way beyond that into illegal.
Page 29 on all these points. Page 29 of the report says that Wiggins may have been treated with triamcinolone, this corticosteroid we're talking about, on up to 9 occasions across a 4-year period. And they say it would be hard to know what possible medical need could have required such a seemingly excessive use of the drug. And then on page 32, we believe that this powerful corticosteroid was being used to, and you use this word, prepare Bradley Wiggins and possibly other riders supporting him for the Tour de France. The purpose of this was not to treat medical need, but to improve his power to weight ratio ahead of the race. And again, you do wonder where does an unethical meet absolute 100% doping violation? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that is as damning as it could go, no?
Yeah, exactly. And the answer to your question there is it's unethical, not illegal, simply because you didn't need a TUE for it. And so,
because it was out of competition.
In theory, yeah. We don't know whether all 9 of those doses were used out of competition. The one dose in question was potentially used straight after a race, so it wasn't. It was in competition. But that's the crux of the matter, is it clean? Are you clean when you're using a banned drug for performance enhancing reasons without any medical need for it. In my opinion, that's not clean.
We had Matt Lawton from the Daily Mail on the OTBAM show this morning, who obviously has done great work on this story and really got the wheels moving after the Fancy Bears hacking situation. He said he wasn't too sure who this anonymous source is, but there's an anonymous source that the committee are using and is pretty damning content. So the anonymous source says that Wiggins and a smaller group of riders trained separately from the rest in the build-up to the 2012 season, which obviously was a good season for Wiggins, and says that Wiggins and those riders were using corticosteroids before the 2012 season beyond the requirement for any TUE. So, I mean, that source is an interesting one. We don't know too much more about it.
Right, and actually, having said a minute or two ago that there was nothing new in this report, the one thing that was new is that area and the fact that Wiggins allegedly had 9 of these doses given to him.
In 4 years.
Miller is quoted in the report saying that you need 1 a season as an elite cyclist, and Wiggins has had 9 over 4 years. So that's going way above even what guys like Miller and Rasmussen would have used. And then the other one is the small group of guys. Who were they? And why does that information not come out? Now, I know why it is. It's because just because they're parliament doesn't mean they're not subject to the same legal restrictions. But reading between the line and seeing what that anonymous source has given them, I suspect that there's a lot that was not put into that report. And perhaps the next installment is further revelation around what those things are and who else was involved. Because you might recall also, I forget when it was, but there was an allegation, perhaps confirmed, that Sky had ordered dozens of these doses of this corticosteroid. And so now we've accounted for 9 of them. Well, where did the other 30, 40, 50 go? So there's a lot yet to be discussed and revealed, I think.
Yeah. I feel like we should let that question you've just asked hang for a few minutes. And also there is ongoing an investigation into how a batch of testosterone patches ended up in Manchester at the British Cycling headquarters. And they the best reason they've given is that the order was sent there mistakenly. The company who delivered the order have not yet confirmed that it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Again, crazy stuff. Bradley Wiggins' reaction, I mean, that unless there's anything else, that's kind of a good gist to what's in the committee report today. Feel free to add anything else you think is important. But Bradley Wiggins has described these allegations as sad, and it's terrible that people can say these things about you. And Team Sky have refuted, I mean, the definition of refute, it kind of tickles me they can refute these allegations, but they claim to have anyway. So you wonder where it leaves them. You wonder where it leaves Brailsford. Certainly some of the big hitters in the UK press are calling for his resignation.
Yes, because there's this, there's the testosterone, there's their best guy of all facing a doping hearing in which he might lose a couple of his big titles, because he's somehow produced a positive result twice the legal limit for salbutamol in Chris Froome. So they can't seem to escape from underneath allegation. And this goes back, you know, there's a lot of revisionist history being written right now. People saying, oh, you see, the signs were there all along. A lot of people were fully on this bandwagon in 2012, 2013. And slowly, there's just been this drip feed of one thing after the next. And at some point, you join the dots and you say, okay, maybe the initial impression was a correct one, that all was not well with Sky. So I don't know how Brailsford's still in that job, but he shouldn't be, in my opinion. But perhaps he'll write this out, because who controls Sky? Who are they accountable to? It seems to me no one.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see how this plays out over the next few days. I mean, this thing could just disappear off the radar again. As you said at the outset, this is a you know, in comparison with yesterday, the new information, the shock value is about a 1 out of 10. If we leave Team Sky for a second, can we touch on Seb Coe and Mo Farah for just a moment? Because people may have missed that with all the headlines.
Yeah, so, it's been true. So the time to get into that, I think, will come at some point, but we might as well get started now.
Yeah. So short version, we'll touch on Seb Coe. Seb Coe is obviously president of the IAAF at the moment. In December 2015, he gave testimony to this committee, which is about doping in sport, UK sport generally, not just the Team Sky. So he was there. And in effect, they're accusing Coe of willful ignorance. He spoke before that committee and said he knew of no specific accusations of doping within Russian athletics. And his first, oh my God, moment was when the ARD documentary, the German TV documentary, came out and blew all this up. So that was before that. Seb Coe was saying to this committee, I really didn't know too much about this. What the committee say about that is that Seb Coe sought to distance himself from any knowledge of the allegations of doping in Russian athletics before the details were exposed in the German documentary. And they say it is certainly disappointing that Lord Coe did not take the opportunity given to him by David Bedford to make sure he was fully informed of the serious issues at stake in the Shubukova case. So what happened there was a Russian athlete is offering to pay off the IAAF $450,000 to cover up a positive test. It's even fun to kind of know that that's the going rate, but there you go. So David Bedford, a former race director of London, got wind of this. And according to himself before the committee, and not only sent emails to Coe, who claims not to have opened them, but also text messages, and really tried to alert Coe to what was going on, that the IAAF could be bribed and cover up a test for $450,000. And as I said, it seems at best that Coe remained willfully ignorant. I don't want to know about this. If I know about this, it puts me in a dodgy position. I'll have to come forward and the whole house of cards comes falling down. So that, in a nutshell, is pretty much the accusation being leveled at Coe here, yeah?
Yeah, and that he misled the committee about not knowing. And so I believe, going back to when he testified, his defense or explanation was that he'd received this email and he had immediately forwarded it on to the IAAF's lawyer and in charge of their ethics committee, saying, I'm just bringing this to your attention. And that he didn't open the attachments. You have to believe that Sebastian Coe is uniquely incurious to not open the attachments on what he has to know as a guy in the sport at that time is the sport's biggest threat. And you're the custodian of that sport and you're not curious about what's in the attachment. I mean, for all he knew, the attachments implicated him and he just blindly sends it on to the lawyer. It's very difficult to believe that he would do that. And then the committee's report says that he's misled them about that. So this, again, nothing will stick to Coe, unfortunately, I think.
Yeah.
But it's just another case of questionable leadership, because the best case you can make for Coe is that he's leading without knowledge, on purpose.
Yeah.
The worst case is that he knows it, is denying it, and then lying about it to people in order to play some political game.
Yeah. So that's very damning. I mean, in any other walk of life, you feel that would make his position untenable. I mean, as you say, it's incompetence at absolute best. It's complete incompetence. But I mean, since those emails, he's graduated to president of the IAAF. I mean, it's a marvelous world. And then Mo Farah, Sports Personality of the Year 2017, Mo Farah. So the gist here is London Marathon 2014, he was injected with L-carnitine. And this was the substance that Alberto Salazar sent an excited email to Lance Armstrong about, saying, you're not going to believe how good this is. And this is a legal substance once it's ingested, however it is put into the system. Once it's taken in the right amount, the right dosage, it is legal. But it seems here the doctor at the center of this injected Mo Farah before the 2014 London Marathon and decided not to record the dose, even though it was the first time he had ever given anyone this substance. He just thought, it's fine, I'll stick in the needle and press gazump and see what happens.
Yes, exactly. There's not much you can say to some of these things except laugh, because it's the same with Freeman and the medical records for Wiggins. They just don't exist.
Yeah.
So therefore we can't provide you with any incriminating evidence. We also can't refute the claims, but we'll just write it out because this is the problem. It's a fundamental issue is that you, in this case, Parliament, are powerless to do anything in the absence of proof.
Yeah.
And so the whole anti-doping system is set on this, or is built on this foundation of someone has to provide incontrovertible, absolute proof that someone's doping. And as long as that doesn't exist, there's no case to answer. So all they do is, they burn the records or they just don't keep them in the first place. So it's messy, you know, but yeah.
Interestingly, this doctor, Rob Checrafferty, is the senior doctor now for the England football team. He's moved on to that position. But the General Medical Council, I've been told by the committee, they should investigate what went on here, because in any walk of life, a doctor injecting anyone with anything and not keeping any kind of record is very clearly not best practice. So that's the whole muddled picture. That is the committee's report, and it indicts all of those people quite badly. And yeah. I suspect the consequences, that said, will not be overly terrible for any of them.
I doubt it. Yeah. Unless this leads to, you know, this is one more loose thread. Maybe someone pulls on it. Maybe Freeman is the guy who unravels the whole ball of yarn. Maybe it's Wiggins. But again, there's no need for people to testify because there's no threat of not telling the truth, it seems to me. So even lying to Parliament, I doubt. Nothing will happen. So
yeah.
It's quite frustrating. And while I said at the outset, I'm all for the progress and, as you said, putting it on the front page of the papers and in the media and so forth so that there's more awareness of what's going on, the reality is that this is just incremental advances in knowledge, and then there still needs to be a big exposure of something somewhere before this thing falls down properly.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the point to finish on. That is an excellent point, because we will talk to you occasionally when there is, from our point of view, a pretty significant development in the story. But step away from where your job is to be on top of this stuff, and actually to the outside, it's an indiscernible change. It's an indiscernible shift. It's just more suspicion, and there is still no aha moment.
Exactly. It's like a fact is never a fact. A lie is never a lie. A failed test like Froome's is never a failed test because it'll be attacked from three different angles. It's like chasing shadows. And unfortunately, these are more shadows, which I'm all for more shadows.
Yeah.
But at some point, we have to catch the person casting the shadow. And that seems to me to still be quite elusive. I'm frustrated a little bit at the lack of a, you know, we have so many smoking guns, but none of them at this point are strong evidence of what we think is going on there.
Okay. Ross Tucker, Dr. Ross Tucker, as always, a pleasure and thoroughly depressing. Thank you.
Thanks.
Off the Ball on News Talk.